We're going to do some old stuff.
All right. We're going old school.
Father, I have your word, and I believe it's true.
Father, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I know it's true. I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is Moving Forward. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Subtitle is Spiritual Maturity. Verse 18, we're going to start. Romans 8:18. This is the Apostle Paul writing to us. And he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. You may be asking or thinking or wondering why all this stuff. Why are we gathering? Why are we spending an inordinate amount of time in getting you prepared? To get you trained up, to get to know not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but really to have a manifestation of His Spirit through you in such a way that you impact the world. And the problem is, and we alluded to it yesterday in the pastors, is that the world is affecting the church and is lulling it to sleep. And there is a remnant in the land today that doesn't want that. If you are part of that and you're falling asleep at the wheel, eventually you're going to come and crash into the ditch. Jesus said, you know, let the blind lead the blind. They'll both fall in the ditch. I know where we're going. I know what needs to get done. I've set my face like flint to the Father, and I've asked Him, and He has shown me, He has given me vision, and He has given me understanding as to what's going on. The whole purpose here is that not only is the world waiting for the salvation of Jesus Christ, it's waiting for us to get the program started. And that includes you. Your whole being should be in such a way in not how to contain Christ, but how to release Christ out of your life. Since the time of Adam, when he fell under the deception and rebellion of Satan, this world and us included have been subjected to a cruel taskmaster. And because of it, what has happened, man has done such vile, insidious things one unto another that what is happening even today in our playtime, we become anesthetized to that cruelty. We have people dying at the hands of other men, other women, other children, killing people because we play video games and we think that it's okay. We spend so much time in the electronic world that we feel that it's an escape from the realities that we, the children of God, need to be a part of. Because this world is slowly, slowly, slowly lulling the church asleep. And we just don't get it. Jesus came into the world not only to atone for your sins and my sins, He came and atoned for the sins of the whole world. And the world is waiting for the children of God. If you are the children of God, say, I'm a child of God. It's waiting for you to be revealed. Not to sit there in a pew, not to hide behind a skirt, not to be a closet Christian. It's waiting for you to make a pronouncement that you're going to stand up against evil. And that's the whole charge that Jesus has given to the church. This world suffers the same fate as man. It has been relegated to bondage. everything, everything in the world goes through a cycle of birth, life, and death. Do you think that was God's intent from the beginning? God's intent and only intent was life. And give us life more abundantly. So it progressively increases. It doesn't decrease. And so the world is subjected to this cycle as we are. One day, this flesh is going to expire. My spirit is going to last eternally because God has regenerated me. Those who have not been regenerated will exist eternally too. They will exist in eternal damnation. And my heart breaks that we're not doing more than that. That we allow our situations and circumstances to dictate what we're going to do and not do. When today in prayer, Nolan prayed for me, and he says, you know, it shouldn't be at the expense of your flesh that I should suffer these things. No. That's where Jesus rebuked Peter. When Jesus said he had to go to the cross, and Peter said, you know, far be it, Lord, that you do such a thing. And he got rebuked. Why? Because that was not the thing of God. You see, I'm going to suffer these things, not because it's pretty, not because I want to. I do it because I know it's okay. The question is, where's your sacrifice? Well, Pastor, you're retired. You can spend that time. I retired from a secular job. I never retired from my spiritual job. We have to move forward. We have to change the way we think. And you guys got a dose of that, and you realize I'm not the only one speaking this. We may just be a little bit ahead of the curve because we understand prophetically what God is doing in the land, especially in this time of restoration. Jesus went around preaching the kingdom of God. And not only did he preach it, he lived it. He demonstrated it by healing the sick, casting out demons, speaking to a word of faith to send somebody the centurion's servant was sick, and he sent the word and healed him. When was the last time you said to a friend, you know what, I'll pray for them and they'll be healed? You see, Jesus expects you to do what he did on a grander scale. And if you're sitting there just saying, well, you know, that's something you and him are going to have to discuss. And believe me, he will talk to you about it. He's the king. We are not. We're under his kingship. We're to use his kingship, his authority, his power to wage war against everything that the devil has set here and subjected it to. That's your job and my job. I'm not to do your job. I'm to do my job. And what we have, especially in the military, is either people AWOL or derelict in their responsibilities. Jesus came to set men free. Jesus left and sent his spirit so that we would do the same. But I can't talk about Jesus in my workplace. Whose authority are you under? You under your workplaces? Or are you under God's? I've had him tell me I couldn't share the gospel. And I said, well, if I lose this job, I lose the job. But I'm not going to stop because God says to do it. I know of men who have done even greater things than I have done, just speaking about Christ, They've not only spoke about Christ, they've led them to the Lord, they've given them Bibles, they've done everything, and they've lost their jobs. But Jesus gave them a better one. You see, this whole thing of preparation, unfortunately for some of you, you have not gotten prepared because you figure, well, you know, I got time. You've ran out of time. You've run out of time. When we move into the building, things are going to change. I'm trying to give you a heads up. And when you get talked to by either a deacon or deaconess, one of the other leaders of the church, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you're spoken to. You've had plenty of time to get your house in order. Get yourself in order. Because that's Father's house. This is Father's house. Whether you understand it or not, all we're doing is moving from one of Father's houses to another one. That's all. And the training will intensify. It won't get easier to get more. The whole world is waiting for you to show up. The battle lines have been drawn. Whether you understand it or not, there is a heavy assault being paid by the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. There is an anti-spirit in this country that is running the government that is anti-God. That is trying to make the military anti-God. So that the military will assault the believers of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I've told you this years ago. There are concentration camps already set up for us. And when you see me being dragged out the door for preaching truth, what are you going to do? So it's not a question of what I'm going to do. It's a question of what you're going to do. Are you going to let that scripture be fulfilled that despite the shepherd, the sheep scatter? Or are you going to be like the Acts church that when Peter was thrown in jail, they got together and they prayed. And an angel came in, slapped Peter upside his head and said, let's go. And then when Peter finds himself at the house, he's beaten on the door. A little girl comes to the door and says, oh, it's Peter. And slams the door on him. And runs back and they said, who was that? He says, it's Peter. What are you going to do when they take me out to jail and the angel slaps me upside my head and I'm going to your house looking for sanctuary going, yo, yo, yo. And sheep says, oh, that's pastor. Slams the door on me and goes back. That's pastor out there. Well, let him in. This is coming. It's coming and it's here. I've told you that you are king and priest. I told them yesterday that they're part of an elite group. Kings and priests. Special forces. And you have to believe this. I believe it with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm the most deadliest weapon that's out there. Because Jesus said so. You are too. You need to start thinking and talking and acting like you are, but exude the love of Jesus Christ to those who don't know. You're to get trained here. We're going to have such intense training sessions. It's going to be unbelievable. And you're struggling at the basics. You know, there's a reason why people go to basic training. See, when you go to basic training, they strip everything out of you, away from you. You are no longer Gary Stiles or Podozic or whatever. You're what they call you to be. You take on what they say. They own you. And if you start whimpering and crying for mommy, well then the drill sergeant says, I'm your mommy. You're mine now. They change the way you think. They prepare you. They rustle you out of bed. They train you some more. You're exhausted. Then they train you some more. And then they throw you out there in doing some exercises to prepare you for battle. So that they can see what you're going to do under live fire. I was doing that with you guys before. Remember when we went out and we took the surveys? Remember, Sheep? And I had comments like, well, I never did this. I don't think I can do that. It'll be fine. It'll be cool. The test was to break down the fear, to get into the community, to start seeing what's going on in the community. Next thing, we progress, we get start serving in the community. We start getting involved in things. Why? To break down the fear factor and to begin to start infiltrating. The next one is we're going to openly be involved in the community. We have a building. Jesus came as an invasion force of one and left an invasion of many, of which you and I are part of. And it is worldwide. The difference is we're not invading to win. We're invading from victory. We already won. We are taking it over in Jesus' name. That's why it's important that you begin to start practicing these things in your life. Doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. What it means is that you start growing up. When Paul says, I put away these things that were childish because I became a man or a woman. I didn't do the things that I did as a child. I don't do them things anymore. Don't you understand that Satan is going to use everything to keep you retarded from becoming that which Christ has died for you and paid the price for you to become? He has created you to be a weapon in his hands. And Satan is so afraid that you will realize how dangerous you really are that he will do whatever. He will mess with you personally if you let him. He will mess with your family personally if you let him. He will mess with your job if you let him. You have to have a mindset that you are in control. In the name of Jesus. You have power and authority. We talked about, you know, if there's sickness in your house, why not take the power and authority? I know Irene was praying for me. Why? Because I was under it. I couldn't. I needed somebody to pray. I know you guys were praying for me. Why? Because that's what the body's supposed to do. When one hurts, they all hurt. But when we unify, guess what happens? You cover me in love. And that protected me. It became a shield of prayer over me, which became a shield of prayer over you, which in essence and in truth was the wings of the Lord covering us and huddling us to himself, protecting us. Our job, because we've conquered, is to go and declare to people what the King says. How to act, how to be. Because you see, he will come back, and those who do not believe, they're the ones that are going to be shortchanged. Remember in Thessalonians it says, you know, he's going to judge those who are disobedient to the gospel. Who's he talking to? He's talking to those in the church. Make believers is what I call them. And those who are disobedient to him. Period. Those who have not heard the word, who still do what they want to do. He's going to judge them. And guess what? There's going to be a house cleaning in the church. If you are not for real for God, you're only deceiving yourself to think that you can get around. He sees what's going on. And each and every one of us is going to give an account. Are you not afraid to give an account to God? I am shaking in my boots. Well, Pastor, you got it together. I don't have anything together. I mess up just as much as I did the first day I got saved with Jesus Christ as I am here 30 years later. Why? Because he's dealing with other stuff that I never thought about him dealing with. But he's constantly purging the junk out of my life. Why? Because I want the Holy Spirit to clean me out. I want to be without spot or wrinkle. Is that not your desire? Or is your desire just to sit there, oh, you know, let's play iTunes for a while. Let's just sit back. Let's do our thing. And believe me, that's not inherently wrong. But when it takes up more of your time than doing what the will of God is for your life, that is sin. You have been lulled asleep. Jesus said that we are salt and light unto this world. Does your life create thirst in other people? Do you ever hear him say, man, I wish I could be more like you, man? Or do you say, yeah, that's all right. No problem. I got it together. Do you emanate with the glory of God? Light. That when people come and say to you, you're a holy roller. Remember I shared with a friend of mine who said, you know what, Gary? You ain't perfect, but you're consistent. And then he went off and told an off-color joke and said, I'm sorry, I can't tell you that. And one side of me was like offended. I like to hear a good joke, like anybody else. That's the flesh. But in the spirit, the Holy Spirit was saying, he's protecting you. He doesn't want to pollute you. He doesn't want to corrupt you. Because he realizes that you're a holy man. And there are plenty of holes in me. You know. But what are they saying about you? If they're not talking about you in a negative sense, and they're embracing you because you're more like them than you are like Christ, you have a problem. I don't have a problem. You have a problem. Luke 22:26 states that to be great in the kingdom, you must learn to be a servant of all. Who are you serving? I hear guys telling me, Pastor, you shouldn't go into the building today. Take it easy. I got to. It's Father's house. I want to be in Father's house. Just like Jesus. I always about Father's business. Are you about Father's business? Or are you about your business? Remember I've said to you that if you're about Father's business, He's about your business? Right? If you're kingdom first, you would have your family in order. If you're kingdom first, you would be in order. If you're kingdom first, you would be tithing. If you're kingdom first, you wouldn't be living a lifestyle that's contrary to the gospel. You would be bringing glory to your Father. And the world is waiting for us to get with the program. It's groaning. It's moaning. You know? Oh, I like the Geico thing. Where the tree is in the forest. And it falls over. Whoa, watch out, guys. Watch out, guys. Oh, bam. Falls. Would anybody know that you fell? Would anybody care that you fell? You know, we pretend that everything is cool, but it's not. And part of this service that we have to get out of our mind is this religious service mindset. I serve because I love. The demonstration of my love is how I serve. And I expect the same from you. I expect you to serve. Excellently. If you're not willing to serve excellently because you're serving Him, the King, well, let's put it this way. If you're the King and you're sitting at a table and they throw raw hamburger to you and say, eat this, this is good enough, how would you feel? That's what we do with the Lord in our service. We throw something up there and say, this is good enough. Dan was watching me vacuum. I'm vacuuming behind the steel studs. Then I'm vacuuming in the steel studs. And he's looking at me. I said, I'm doing it for Father. This is Father's house. I do it excellently into him. I'm not missing a spot. If I can't reach it, I'm going to try as best as I can because I know the Father's watching. What am I trying to instill? I'm trying to instill an attitude of excellence. We're in there rocking. And I know, two nights at 11 o'clock at night, we're in there rocking. Nobody wanted to clean up, but what did we do? We cleaned up. Why? So that we didn't have twice as much mess the next day. It's part of being excellent. You're tired. Tommy Reed wrote a book called Kingdom Now But Not Yet. And he said, the Bible must become more than a handbook of personal salvation. It must become a mandate for the reestablishment of Christ's rule and reign over the earth and a rebellious portion of the universe that Satan now asserts dominion. Would you agree to that? Or are you still wrestling with the how-tos of Scripture? How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I get this sermon done in 5 minutes? Bible study, as I've told you before, is not just a Bible study. It is a basic training for your life. And when you graduate to the next thing, which is character training, or graduate to the next thing of sharing your faith and testimony, or sharing kingdom finances and getting your house in order financially, they're all basics so that you can show up for war. Read about the Spartans. History is a really good teacher. It really is. Read about the Spartans and see how their houses ran. These guys were warriors. And their homes were practice sessions for war. I'm not advocating that we get out there with our swords and we start slicing and dicing each other. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if your life isn't right before God, you need to bring it in under His subjection. God spoke chaos out of darkness and began to bring order into the universe. And then He created everything. If things are going on in your life that's not what it's supposed to line up with the Word of God, who are you being discipled by? The greatest compliment that I got yesterday was this. Pastor, you aren't making converts. Your men are disciples. And I envy that. Man, that is a great compliment. And I am humbled by it. But I am not stopping there. I am not satisfied. I want to raise boys to become men of God. To become the kings and priests of their homes. To become kings and priests over their churches. To become kings and priests over this land. So that when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes, He can say, Dan, well done, my good and faithful servant. Ken, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Or another way of putting it in today's vernacular, let's party. Come on. Come on, let's party. You guys did good, let's party. That's what he's saying. For 20 centuries, he has been trying to get us on the program. And in 20 centuries, he has been restoring to the church every aspect we need for victory. The last aspect is this apostolic move of God. Bringing in all the nuts and bolts together so that the church can rise up and do the things that God wants. If you are a servant of Jesus Christ, you should be looking outwardly to serve. You should be. Whether it's a political avenue, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in helping build hospitals, going to the mission fields, to help the homeless, to feed the poor. You name it, there are thousands of things. They're all good things, but if we're not involved in some of these things, what are we doing? Do you not know that God wants to streams to be the head up of a not just a food pantry, but a food distribution throughout South Jersey? Do you not know this? That He wants us to be involved in homeschooling so our kids get the best education, not the worst education. That He wants our kids to be so exemplary in their manners and discipline that it reflects Him and brings Him glory. He wants us to be so honest and truthful with each other that, you know what, when someone brings an accusation, we don't have to ponder and think, well, is that true about them or not? He wants us to have such an intense relationship that there would be no question. We could stand up for one for another. As Dan was saying in Romans 12:10, honor, love. Do we honor each other? Do we love each other enough that we would cover them? See, this is not about me. It's about them out there. And He has given us His Spirit. He has empowered us to be so much more than to be academically buffoons. I'm not kicking education, but we need to be educated about the things of the Spirit. We need to be educated about what His kingdom wants and how He wants it run. We're so caught up in this worldview here. We're not caught up in God's worldview. And we need to be. Because it's His. It's His world, not ours. He just gives us the privilege to stay here a while. And then guess what? When we check out of Hotel 6 and we party up, we're coming back. We're not staying in heaven. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that says we die, we stay in heaven. We go there for a little bit, but He created us for here, not there. The teaching that's been going on in the church and the lies that's been going on is like, you know, we're going to wait here to be raptured out of here and then everything's going to be good. If you have that mindset, throw it away. It's not true. If you don't have a dominion mindset and how to cultivate that and how to fight for what you have and not to just throw it away and give it up, you have a problem. You have a real problem. He's told us to go and possess the land. Not give it away. That's what Adam did. We're a different spirit now. When He caused us to become born again, He infused us with His Spirit. When we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, He empowered us to become warriors that would fight and keep what He has fought so hard and won for us. Our job as kings is to continue the praises of God. Yeah, to come and worship. But we need to invade, occupy, and influence this world in such a way that our Father gets all the glory, no matter what happens to us. There will be casualties. In every war, there are casualties. And people will die. I may die. I don't care. I care about bringing glory to my Father. I care that His people be well educated in the things of God. I do care that you guys take hold and inhabit the high places. And for you that don't know what high places are, that's the ruling areas where demons now hold. I want you to hold the high places, which means we have to pull them down. Gideon got in trouble. Why? Because he pulled down a high place. Remember? And then God said, oh, mighty man of valor, come on. I'm going to have you go against your enemies. But you got too many. You got too many. He kept whittling them down until he got 300. And the way he whittled them down, he saw those who lapped the water and had their eyes on the horizon, and those who just pushed their face in the water and started to drink. Which are you? Are you just looking to just get refreshed? Oh, church was great. It was awesome, man. I'll still live for Satan for the rest of the week. No problem. Or are you one of those who I'm looking for, that I pour my life into and expend my life for, because that's who Christ died? And I'm not saying that those who are a little bit weaker and stuff, we have all kinds. As Jesse said, there's things that can be done behind the scenes. I just happen to be in the front of it. I'm fighting this battle, guys. My sons are fighting the battles. God has some work for you to do. Turn to John 17, 18. Last scripture. John 17, 18. We there? This is Jesus praying for the disciples. And he says something really profound, which continues today. He says, as you have sent me, speaking to the Father, he says, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctified myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. What did he say here? One, that he set himself apart. That's what sanctification is. Set himself apart for the purpose of being a light to his disciples in how to conduct themselves in the world. Okay? As the Father sent the light through the Son, he now sent his disciples out. I have sanctified myself so that you would see the light and how to be. As imperfect as I am, because I'm not Jesus, I just contain him. I'm sending you out into the world. This world needs to see you. This world needs what you have. Do not cheapen your salvation in a way that brings dishonor to our Father. Your salvation cost him more than you're willing to pay for. More than you have. More than you could ever imagine. It cost him his very son's life. Just to demonstrate to us how much he loves us. How much do you love God? It will be determined by the amount of service you have for him. It's really true. We had a pastor say, don't tell me how much faith you have. Don't tell me how much you love me. Show me. Let's show God how much we love him. It's easy here. It really is. It's easy here. We can open up our mouth and praise God. We could stand up and shout and scream and go crazy. He's not impressed with that. He appreciates it because he's worthy of that. But he wants to see his sons and his daughters start setting the world free. That's worth fighting for. That is your destiny. No matter how great or how little, doesn't matter. Being involved in the fight is what matters. You know what? In any sport that you play, they have bench. They have a bench. When the players that are out there on the field win the game, who wins the game? The team wins. It's about time you guys start to become part of the team. You've had solo acts long enough. Now God wants us to come together and send us all out. You need to know what the vision is. And some of you come with great ideas, and I've said to you in the past, Holy Spirit ain't speaking, that ain't getting done, guys. I'm sorry. It may crush your feelings and all. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. I'm working the plan, and I'm staying on purpose. Now it's time for us to come together as streams of life and really give that life to the community. No matter what it's going to cost us, no matter what they say, all that matters is Him saying to you, Sharon, well done, my good and faithful servant. To you, Rashima, I love you. You did a great job. Really. Lewis, God loves you so much that He wants to change your life around in such a way that what you could only think about and hope for, He wants to give to you. But it's going to cost you to give up what you already know and get to know Him. Amen?